This is Stephen Jackson, co-host of the podcast All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartMedia in partnership with Showtime. Each week, my brother Matt Barnes and I, two NBA champions, sit down with the biggest names in sports and culture to have uncut and raw conversations. No BS questions, no BS answers. We get right to it with each and every guest. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, and it's easy to see why. Listen to All the Smoke on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, but don't take our word for it. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of The Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Now every customer, both new and existing, get the same great deal on the best devices.
Hey, 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 it's your girl, Love to Haiti, and this is Love to Haiti, Talks or Bra, here on Revolver Podcast. Thank you for listening, thank you for subscribing, thank you for reviewing, thank you for supporting, thank you, and I'm going to start today by talking about something that you're not thankful for, STI. So I read an article about STIs, sexually transmitted infections. Yes, I don't know why they dropped the D. Remember when STIs used to be called STDs? Why did they drop the D? Probably because the D sounds scary, like you have a disease because you had sex. Ay, Dios mío. So STI is now the new thing. And what's new about STIs, which is kind of scary, is that most millennials aren't talking or discussing their sexually transmitted infections with their partners. What a way to start a podcast. Let's talk about the vagina and the penis and how you have infections and aren't telling each other about it. Millennials, get it together. I honestly, when I read things like that, I am so happy that I am not single. I sometimes miss being single. I said it once, and I'll say it again, and I've expressed it before on another podcast, and I wrote an article about it on lovesweetie.com. Check it out, by the way. I go into depth about why. But I don't miss this about being single. I don't miss the sex with a new person, and I don't miss the risk of having sex with a new person, and the trust that you have to put in when you have sex with someone new. You know, you have to trust your partner regardless. Because when you're in a relationship, married or not, you trust that the person isn't sleeping around or isn't doing something that they shouldn't be without, obviously, your consent, because there are open relationships and that's something completely different. But yes, you trust that the man or the woman that you are sleeping with, that they're getting tested and that they're not sleeping with anybody else if that is your situation, right? So there's more, I guess, comfort in that thought, even though people do cheat all the time. But that's the comfort. Like, that's a relationship. You're loyal to each other. You sleep with you and you sleep with me. Yeah. But when you're single, it's a free-for-all. When I was single, and you know, I'm not a millennial, so I know that sex has changed immensely. I am the generation before, I believe that's Gen X. I don't know, I always get it confused. I think I'm Gen X because millennials are Gen Y. Yes, and they're called millennials. So I'm not a millennial, I'm Gen X. And when I was single, yeah, people were having casual sex. But I think that there was still like the taboo-ness for women, especially Latinas, to have sex with just like anybody. Like we still had to play hard to get. We still had to be like, I know, yo nunca. And our legs open, oops. Baja panty. But we had to pretend like that wasn't who we are, like Moquita Muerta act. And I also think that, you know, we weren't as sexually free. At least I don't remember ever being that sexually free. I definitely was not as sexually free as millennial women are today. There's nothing wrong with it. There was still a lot of the Catholic guilt that I was experiencing. And I explored and I tried to see if I was like, wepa, come on, you're hot, let's bang. I tried to see if I was that type of woman. I did attempt it a couple of times. I did have just like sexual partners that were just sexual partners. I've never had a one-night stand because I don't know. I've always had a hard time finding someone sexually attractive enough to bang them right there, unless it was someone that I had like a connection with already. They didn't have to be my boyfriend. At least not then, not when I was exploring. I use quotation marks if you will see me. Air quotes, exploring. Unless I was doing that and really just trying to figure out my sexuality and like whether I wanted casual sex or didn't, or if I had to be in a relationship. That was all that I was trying to figure out. Even then, I never had a one-night stand because I didn't feel that attracted to someone sexually right off the bat to like want to bang them and feel like there was going to be enough of that passion that I would want to have sex with them and actually enjoy the sex. So I did explore, but I was an easy prude. I write about it in my first book, Love Trips. I was an easy prude. What do I mean by easy prude? I was someone that was sometimes a little promiscuous and easy and gave it up a little quick. And then I was another person that I was like, no, Jono, I don't have sex with people until they're my boyfriend. So, so depending on my mood and depending on the guy, I could have been a little easy and I could have been a little bit promiscuous. And sometimes I was such a prude that you would think I was a monja. That was me when I was single. And yes, men were very frustrated, but I don't care. That's how I live my life, people. That's how I live my life. Anyway, sexually transmitted infections and millennials today. I don't miss being single because this is something that is becoming kind of an epidemic. There was a study that asked millennials, was your most recent partner tested before you became sexually active with each other? 40% of the women who answered said they did not know. 40%. That's a really big number, okay? That means that 40% don't ask, hey, when was the last time you were tested? Those conversations aren't being had between millennials when they're having sex with someone or before having sex with a person. Usually you want to do it before you're having sex. You don't want to like start having sex and be like, I don't have sex like this, I promise. By the way, have you been sexually tested? Like, are you STI free? If someone would ask you that while they're in you, they're an idiot. All right, the next question that they asked was, when was the last time you were tested for STIs? Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Men said, millennial men, 20%. Okay, within the last 6 months, only 20%. Women within the last 6 months, 36%. So you're supposed to be tested if you are really sexually active, like uber sexually active. You're supposed to be tested, recommended by the doctors, every 6 months. 20% of men who are millennials have been tested within the last 6 months. 36% of women, okay? That's what they said. More than 6 months, but less than 1 year ago. Ese número is even lower, which is crazy. So only 13% of men have been tested 6 months, but less than 1 year ago. 22% of women. At least 1 year, but less than 2 years ago. 12% for men, 17% for women. Bottom line, basically, nobody's been tested. The number for I have never been tested was 33% for men. And mujer hembra, 11% for millennial women. These numbers are really scary because I have a baby and eventually he's going to be sexually active. And if this is the trend, then that means he's never going to get tested. And the women or the men, whichever way he floats, who knows, are not going to get tested. And this is super dangerous. 1/3 of the survey respondents said that they've either had an STI or don't know if they have an STI. The most common STI, what do you think it is? I thought it was HPV because HPV is something that you can basically get just by sneezing on somebody. I kid. That is not true. I'm not promoting ignorance. HPV, the human papillomavirus, I can never say that word. HPV is something that most women get and most men, you don't even have to be like penetrating. Just oral sex or even rubbing crotches without underwear, you can get HPV. So it's something that's super prominent. But the number one STD, according to the respondents, the millennial respondents, was chlamydia. Y eso duele. I've never had it. Pero me han dicho, allegedly, que eso duele. So, oh my God, millennials. I can't believe that millennial women, you know, men usually don't get tested for STIs because men don't get as much of the symptoms as women do. Women, usually, y'all ladies know, if you have an STI, everything, you feel it. We feel everything because our vagina is internal. Everything is just like, It explodes, I'm telling you. It hurts when you pee, you get the warts, you're red. Ay, ay, ay. It's not pretty. We itch. Men can carry and have an STD for a long time without them knowing that they have something, especially HPV, right? So the fact that women, millennial women, young women, from 20-something to even late 20s, because millennials are from, I think the oldest millennial would be like 32, because I have a friend that's a millennial and she just turned 32. So for me, or maybe she turned 31, I don't know. It's in the early 30s, or maybe she turned 30. Yo no sé matemática. So the fact that these women are not getting themselves checked like at least once a year. Even when I wasn't sexually active, I got a pap smear once a year. You should make sure that your vag is okay and it's not a drag. So I am like shocked at the study. But I'm also shocked at this. I'm shocked at this because I can't believe that this couple in this neighborhood is sick of seeing people having sex. All right, so there was this thing that happened. Apparently, there's this hotel right across the street, which happens in New York, right? In New York City, people just build in New York. I remember I have a cousin that lives in Miami, and he was like, it's so weird because there's so many people in New York, and it's like people were like, let's all move to New York. Let's just populate and repopulate and just keep just populating. And then he's like, and then they were like, well, what are we going to do? We don't have no space. Well, we'll just keep building up until we reach the sky and we reach God and we're just on top of each other. Well, yes, usually if you live in New York and you live in an apartment building, you might live above a hotel, across the street from a hotel, above a Mexican spa where your food always comes up and you literally, your living room smells like tacos every night. You know, a Dominican restaurant where your food, like the living room, is arroz y chile carne. You'll be like, somebody will come visit you. Oh my God, are you cooking now? It's just arroz y chile carne from my malecón downstairs. You always hungry because that food, that smell wafts up. It doesn't matter what time of day. Your freaking couch always smells like a arroz y chile carne. So that's New York. That's what happens, right, when you live in New York. So tenants of this New York City neighborhood, Lower East Side, LES is the neighborhood, and the LES has become super populated and like super trendy. So a lot of people, you know, there's bars, there's restaurants, there's hotels, and a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Yuppies. Yes, it's been gentrified because the Lower East Side used to be rough before. It used to be so rough. Not anymore. It's been gentrified. So all these yuppies, the blanquitos, are moving to the Lower East Side. Before it used to be Puerto Ricans and black. And now what's happening, people are going and they're visiting and there's hotels, and these neighbors in this building are upset because there is a hotel across the street and they're tired of seeing people have sex. And someone said, a 68-year-old, oh, mira, I was right. This is an article from the New York Post. 68-year-old Leonor Fernandez, esa es una latina. It's actually a public housing building that is facing in 10 Stanton Street. So it's a project, people. Public housing building is a nice way of saying the PJs. Thank you, New York Post. Thank you for trying to make the PJs sound better. So the PJs is facing this hotel because, like I said, the Lower East Side has always been rough around the edges, but they're trying to gentrify it and they are succeeding. But the PJs ain't going to go nowhere, though. So these tenants are tired. This 68-year-old woman, this viejita, boricua, that just wants to watch her novelas. She can't because there's people basically doing it right across the street, you know. She was like, I'm not a peeping Tom, but at the corner of my eye, you can see people going at it four times a week, constantly. So there was actually a tenant association meeting because they're tired of seeing people have sex. Ay, Dios mío. Would you be tired of people having sex in front of you? See, I'm a voyeur, so I don't know if it would bother me as much as Leonor Fernandez, 68-year-old from Florida side. But I can tell how viejita would maybe want, you know, to just like watch her freaking Telemundo tranquilita and watch a dramatic eyebrow raise without in the corner of her eye seeing a man and a woman, or a woman and a woman, or a man and a man banging. Totally get it, Leonor. I'm on your side. But I am a little bit of a voyeur, so I don't think I would mind it as much as Leonor, but I don't think I would want to see it every day. I would just like close the shades, and then when I wanted to peek, I would be like, ay, mira. And then just, it would be super, super attractive, and I would turn myself on, and then I'll just jump boo. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. Speaking of voyeurism, things that are a little bit risque, I'm going to a bachelorette next week, actually. And I'm a little scared. I'm a little scared. Why am I scared of going to a bachelorette? You know, I wouldn't be scared if we were just going to see, like, Hunkmania. Hunkmania is a stripper kind of male review type of joint, kind of like a Magic Mike in New York City. And I think they're nationwide now. They started in New York and they tour and things like that. So it's Magic Mike, right? And to me, strippers are so, male strippers are so corny. It's like gyrate, gyrate, bang, bang, penis in your face, penis in your face. Like, no, I don't really want anybody's penis slapping the side of my head. Dave doesn't even slap his penis with my head. He would want to, but I'm not letting him slap his penis on my face. No, thank you. I'll pass. So for me, things like that, male strippers, they're just not sexy. You know who's sexy, though? Female strippers. And it's just because the female body and the female form and just women in general. Listen, I don't flow that way, but they do say that everyone's a little gay. So I think maybe I'm like 5% gay and I would totally dig a woman. I would dig a woman if I was so trashed and it was like, and we were in a strip club. I would totally, you know, I don't think I've ever been, I've never had a lap dance. I have been to strip clubs. But it doesn't count for me because the strip club that I went to was in Santo Domingo, in the República Dominicana. And I was like 19 when I went. So I don't really count that as me going to a strip club. Because I was 19 and I was a virgin. And I was like, okay, there's just women stripping, walking around. And I couldn't really enjoy it the way I know that I would enjoy it now as a 39-year-old sexual woman who's aware and not afraid of her sexuality and her body anymore or and can actually appreciate sex and other people's bodies and embraces the fact I am a warrior and I think watching people have sex is super it's so sexy, like I'm gaga, like how sexy it is. I'm envisioning it and it's so sexy. So I've never had a lap dance and I'm not going to a strip club for this bachelorette. I'm not going to a male strip club, thank God, because to me, like I said, it's just so corny. I don't find it attractive. They're doing all these body movements that I feel like just aren't sensual. They're trying to be sexual, and it just comes off as I'm trying too hard. No, thank you. But the bachelorette is this, like, Eyes Wide Shut type of party. Y'all know Eyes Wide Shut? You have to know Eyes Wide Shut. Nicole Kidman, Tom Cruise, back in the day when they were together, did the movie Eyes Wide Shut. And I think this was like the beginning of the end of their marriage. Because in the movie, like, it wasn't convincing that they were like really sexual. Like, it was like, I'm not really convinced that you guys would go to like a private party where you have to have a key or a password to go in. And it's a masquerade ball and you're allowing each other to sleep with other people and having threesomes. Yeah, the chemistry between you guys isn't that great on screen, so maybe it's probably not that great off screen. Anyway, Eyes Wide Shut was a movie that it's about this type of environment. So I'm going to this party, and I'm supposed to wear a costume. And it's like, what's the big deal? What's a costume? Who cares? It's a Garden of Eden theme, which means you could be a goddess, you can be Eden, you could have, you know, the little leaves on your boobies and your vagina. Okay, who cares? Yeah, care about this story, because what this place says is allowed is touching, only with your consent. But it's one of those things that we're gonna go, everyone's gonna be super sexual and super sexy in their costumes, barely their costumes, I'm sure, and people can ask you, can I touch you? Can I kiss you? Can I grab your badge? You can say no, and I will say no, because I am a loyal woman, and I have a man. I'm gonna flirt, though, I ain't gonna lie. You know, I never thought I was gonna be the type of woman that was gonna flirt when she was in a relationship, but I was very naive then. I think when I was in my 20s, and a lot of people in their 20s, maybe not millennials, but a lot of my friends, when we were in our 20s, and we were single, we envisioned relationships like, oh, I'm going to be together forever with this guy, and I cannot wait to be married and have kids, and he's going to be my soulmate, and we're just going to be so connected, and it's going to be so amazing. But I never imagined ever missing flirting. Like, I'm not going to need to flirt because he's going to be my everything. Yeah, I miss flirting because, like, me and Dave don't flirt in our relationship all the time. Like, it's not an everyday thing. And there is that like, fun, just exciting thing about flirting with someone new that I didn't think I was gonna miss. So someone's gonna be like, hey, you're hot. I'm gonna be like, hey, thank you. You wanna buy me a drink? But I'm not gonna let them touch my badge. I promise you, I won't let them touch my badge. So that's what I'm doing. That is what I'm doing next week. I'm a little scared. I'm a little scared. I'm not gonna lie. Just because I feel that even though you say no to some people, especially when there's alcohol involved, some people just keep, they're pushy. They'll keep on and keep on and keep on. And just because they say the rules are that doesn't mean that people follow the rules. So I'm a little scared of that. And I'm also a little scared of my reaction to someone not getting the hint, because as a feisty Latina that I am, as a feisty Dominican, I'm not a fan of being pushed around verbally, emotionally, physically, and I'm not a fan of someone just hitting on me when I don't want to be hit on. Like, there's women that they can take it a little bit better, and they'll be like, okay, yeah, I'm fine, I'll just go to the next room. Or, like, they'll even humor the person, and they'll flirt back a little, or just kind of be a little dry, but, like, not be a bitch. Like, I would be a bitch. If I say, no thanks, I don't want you to touch me, and they go and touch me, I'll, like, fucking slap their hand. And then I might get kicked out of the party. Ay, Dios mío. What am I gonna do? So, wish me luck, y'all. Wish me luck. Listen, I want you to follow me on social media, at Love Sue Haiti. I'm gonna take a quick pause to plug myself. At Love Sue Haiti on social media, lovesuehaiti.com. And please subscribe to this podcast. And if you have been listening to this podcast, an avid listener, an avid supporter, like I know so many of you are, review me, please. When you review me, my numbers go up, I get more money, and my bosses are happier, and I keep my job. So please review. Please, I'm begging you. Okay, I'm going to finish it off with something that's a little enticing, so you can start your Friday off with a little bit of a bang, a bang, a bang, and a bang, a bang. Do you guys watch How I Met Your Mother? I know it's off air, but I still watch the repeats because I love Barney Stinson, who is played by Doogie Howser, M.D., right? I'm forgetting his name. It's Doogie Howser, M.D. And he always sings that when he's talking about having sex with a girl, because he plays a straight guy, a very straight guy who's like a sleazeball, like a jerk, you know, like sleeps around and plays with women. And he always says, a bang, a bang, a bangity bang. So I'm going to end it up with a bang, a bang, a bangity bangity bang. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to end it off with things that you shouldn't do when you're getting a blowjob. Are you ready, men? This is for the men. This is for the men. Yes, some men listeners, I do have them. You might not comment as much as the women do, but you do. Listen, I know. All right, so women usually hate giving blowjobs. I know a few women that lie and say they love it. And I know one woman who actually likes it, but I think that she exaggerates a little bit also because she wants to look cool. So I don't know many women who love giving blowjobs, even with men that they love. Some might love it, but I think it's a minority. But even if you do love it, there are some things that most women hate that men do. So listen, guys. Please stop orgasming without warning. Like, stop sneaking in a little orgasm, a little thing in my mouth, a little ejaculate in my mouth or in the mouth. Like, just like say, I'm coming, okay? And let us know, because some women don't want to swallow, myself included. All right. Don't demand that a woman gets on her knees. Okay, maybe the woman's not comfortable with getting on her knees, because sometimes that position makes women feel uncomfortable because it's a position of inferiority, right? A woman's on her knees and you are above, and it doesn't come off as intimate to some women as well. And it could be painful if you have like hardwood floors and it's like not a rug, you know, like you know, maybe she wants to recline, maybe you want to do 69, but just don't force her to get on her knees. Please don't push her head in like you're bobbing for apples. She's not bobbing for apples. She's sucking your dick. So please, stop doing that. Oh my God, that's the worst. I hate it. Why do men think that that's going to turn us on? Why do men think that? And the thing is that men aren't thinking. They just want to come, right? And they just want to have the blowjob that they want to have. But guys, you have to remember that as women, you want us to enjoy the blowjob, because if we enjoy the blowjob, we'll give you another blowjob. If you're making us bob for apples down there, and making us basically gag and want to throw up, we ain't never going to see your penis in our face again. Right? Right. All right. Please, men, make sure that your penis is clean. It reminds me of the Sex and the City episode with Samantha and how she was like, oh my God, he has funky spunk. She swallows, but even some men, women, like, you know, even if they don't swallow, like, you still gotta be clean, like, trim, take a shower. You expect us to smell good down there. We expect you to smell good down there. Do not be silent. We want to feel like you enjoy what we're doing again, then we won't want to do it again. But don't let it drag on. Our heads hurt. Our necks hurt. Our mouths are sore. That's when I switch to the hand, ladies. That's when I switch to the hand. Men, if a woman is switching to the hand, it's because she wants you to come. She's like, oh my God, please, please. I've been down here forever. Please, please, please stop. All right. The last one I'm going to give you. Do not expect her to swallow again. Women don't always want to swallow. And it is okay. The fact that she's even going down on you and making you come, you should be grateful enough to get a job that is that hard to accomplish sometimes. All right. That's it for me today on Love to Haiti Talk Savra. Thank you so much for joining me. Again, review. Subscribe. And share the Love to Haiti love. Listen next time here on Love to Haiti Talk Savra, her woman podcast. Make sure to follow me on social media at Love to Haiti. And I'll see you next time.
There have never been more options for your next vehicle, but the right choice has never been clearer. That's because Toyota has a high-performing hybrid built for your exact needs, like the stylish all-new Camry XSE Hybrid and Venza, the spacious Highlander and all-new Sienna with more cargo space, and the fuel-efficient and high-performing RAV4 Hybrid. Toyota hybrids save you time and money, filling up less often at the gas station. And of course, all with 10-year, 150,000-mile warranty on new models. Take the next step. Visit Toyota.com/hybrid or your local Toyota dealership to learn more.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Is that Shakespeare?
Nope, it's Geico.
Yeah, that's Shakespeare from one of his unpublished works. Oh, it be not for awakening. Nay, giveth thou the berries. For 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Nope, it's from Geico, because they help save people money.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but Geico got it from Shakespeare.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.